When Rabbi Rosenbaum called me and asked me to chair the session, and he told me that the title for the session is The Beis Din, an Institution Whose Time Has Returned, the first thing I asked him if this was going to be a sociological study. And when he told me that Rabbi Black was going to be speaking, I knew immediately that was the answer was not going to be a sociological study. To be quite frank, I'm not sure what the title means. I think it's the kind of a title that you can probably do anything with, and I'm sure we'll all be very pleased with what Rabbi Black has determined should be the focus. We know that in many of our communities, because we are dealing with a much larger population of Shomrei Mitzvah, that many of them are turning to Beis Din to resolve different kinds of conflicts. As a result, Beis Din has to be more proficient possibly than may have functioned in the past. There have to be more people who are able to function in the context of Dayanim. And that may very well be a focus of the various kolim that Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak of Chanan is now maintaining as part of the program. The last thing that the Yitzchak asked me to do when he asked me to do this was to keep it brief. So without further ado, it's a privilege and an honor to introduce someone who really needs no introduction to us, Rav David Black.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor, as I say. When I was asked to speak this afternoon, it was intimated that the presentation was supposed to be a commercial for the Yodin Yodin program, both internal and external. And when I demurred and said that I'm not in the advertising business and don't give commercials, the response was that I'm supposed to give a sample. It's supposed to be a shiur. Be that as it may, I would like to begin by drawing your attention to the fact that the annual convention of the Rabbinic Alumni traditionally takes place immediately after Sukkot as a kind of respite for Rabbonim who have been busy over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and I suppose that the period of tshuva is behind us and all the elements of tshuva have been complied with. However, let me use this occasion to draw attention to one particular area in which we are all remiss, I include myself as well, one avera that we may perhaps not be cognizant of and hence have failed to do tshuva during the past appropriate season. You suspect me of raising issues that should best be ignored or that may be red herrings in the first place, I would point out that the comments are not my own. They can be found in the Eidus L'Yisroel of Rav Henkin, page 167. Bayuv Netzavach al har be'orim mukrochim g'delim shebi America. I won't insult you by translating. Sheyesh bohem har v'shem reiterah. What Rav Henkin is speaking about is one of the Taryag mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Shoftim v'Shoitrim titen lecho v'chol sharecho asher Hashem Elokecho nesen lecho lishvotecho. That is one of the Taryag mitzvahs, which to be sure has one specific formulation in Eretz Yisrael and a different formulation in Chutz Loretz. Says the Gemara in Makis, Matamud Leimar Bishorecho, Bishorecho Atomeshivot Edinim Bechol Plachu Plachu Bechol Ir Vo Ir, B'shorecho in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of minui dayonim is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon every city, and in addition is incumbent upon every plach, every district. Ubechutz loretz atomeshiv b'chol plach uplach, v'atomeshiv b'chol ir v'ir. In chutz loretz, the obligation is less stringent. You can be yetzer, you can get away with a bezdin b'chol plach uplach. It's not absolutely mandatory, although certainly not forbidden, to be memane a bezdin b'chol ir v'ir. But the obligation of b'chol plach uplach is an obligation in chutz loretz no less than in Eretz Yisrael. The Ridvon Makis asks the obvious question: if in Eretz Yisrael you have a bezdin kavua b'chol ir v'ir, why is it necessary to have an additional bezdin b'chol plach uplach? Says the Ridva, so that there will be a bezdin that has jurisdiction with regard to disputes between a citizen of one city and a citizen of another city. What in American jurisprudence is called diversity. That's how you get into federal courts, when you have litigants in different states. The concept is embodied in the Ridva, and it's clear from the comments of the Ridva that the requirement of minui dayonim, both b'chol ir v'ir, as well as b'chol plach uplach, is to assure that the bezdin will be empowered to compel the litigants to appear before them. The mitzvah of minu dayonim, of establishing bote din kovua, is to assure that the bezdin has the power of tfiyah. To be sure, you can be dan bifnei gimel hajaitis, you don't need a bezdin kovua. Two people have a dispute, zeber le'echo v'zeber le'echo, and if everybody is agreeable, they can submit their dispute to that bezdin, and the bezdin will issue a psak halacha, which is binding. Individuals who regularly avail themselves of zeber le'echo v'zeber le'echo have not fulfilled the mitzvah of minu dayonim, because by definition, the mitzvah of minu dayonim is the establishment of an institution such that the institution has the power to compel the Balei Din to appear. The institution has the power in halacha to force the Balei Din to appear before them. The practice that existed in European kehilas of having all the balabatim sign the ksav rabonis when a rov was invited to occupy the kisei harabonis of the city was designed to assure that no one would be in a position afterwards to refuse to appear before that rov when summoned for a din Torah. The purpose of establishing the rov was to establish him as the Ov Bezdin, as the head of the rabbinic court of the city, and by definition, the Bezdin had to have the power of tfiyah, otherwise the mitzvah of minui dayonim has not been fulfilled. And that is precisely the point that is made by Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin's point is that b'avoneseinu harabim, there is no institution in this country, or at least in most of the cities in this country, there is no institution which has the power of kviyah, even in terms of halacha, no bezdin that can force Balei Din to appear before them, and unless and until such an institution is established, we have not fulfilled the mitzvah of minui dayonim. The mitzvah of shoftim v'shoytrim titen l'cho b'chol sharecha, the minimal obligation of a bezdin b'chol plach u'plach, which is binding and incumbent in chutz l'oretz as well, has not been fulfilled by us. Hence, we are guilty of a bitul mitzvah saseh, the mitzvah of shoftim v'shoytrim titen l'cho b'chol sharecha. In that, Rabbonim share equally with Balabatim. Rabbonim are also members of the community, and they have not taken the measures necessary to assure that such institutions are established and that such Dayonim are appointed. The net result is that not only are we faced with a situation in which there is a bitul of a mitzvah asay, but we have created a situation where willy-nilly worse transgressions come in the wake. When there is no bezdin kavua, and there is no bezdin that can compel Balei Din to appear before them, then of necessity, one has created a situation in which Jews will have recourse to our kois shel akum, they will and do, unfortunately, have recourse to secular courts. The Mechaber in Chesher Mishpat says very clearly and unequivocally, Osur lodein bifnei dinei akum ubarkois shalohem, afilu bidin shedonin bidinei Yisrael. Even if the system of justice which is applied is the system of justice of Chesher Mishpat, even if the non-Jewish shoftim were to have gone through a Yodin program someplace and would be Baki in Chesher Mishpat and would apply Chesher Mishpat, it also would be forbidden to appear before them. Va'afilu nisratzu beiz balidinim lodin bifneihem, v'chol habo lodin bifneihem, harei ze roshe, v'ukiilu chireif v'gideif, v'heirim yad b'teras meshe rabbeinu olav hashalom. Those are very strong words, and I hope that in the course of my remarks, it will become apparent that the Mechaber is not engaging in hyperbole, as the words are used bidiyuk and bidiyuk mamish. Let me begin with a kasha. I suppose that's how a shir is supposed to begin. Let me begin with a kasha. Reb Chaim Palachi, who was a Svardish Gotel of the last century, in his Tshuvas on Chesher Mishpat, Chukos HaChayim, which have just recently been reprinted, Simon Aleph in Chesher Mishpat proceeds to ask a question. If there is an Isser of Lifnei and B'lo Lifnei Arkoi Shalakum, and everybody knows the Rashi and Chumash, the Isser of Arkoi Shalakum comes from the Posuk Deila HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneihem, which Chazal understand not as the laws. The Mishpotim, they define not as the laws which Moshe Rabbeinu is told to place Lifneihem Bifnei Am Yisrael, but Eila HaMishpotim, these are the cases, the Mishpot, the Dinei Torah, Asher Tosim Bifneihem, refers back to the Afasecheze, to the Zekenim who were Memune as the Dayonim Al Hatzibur. These then are the Mishpotim, the cases which you shall place before them, V'loi Lifnei Arkoi Shalakum. You're obligated to go to the Botei Din that Moshe Rabbeinu was Memane, and not to Arkoi Shalakum. Asks Reb Chaim Plach, it's not his kash, he cites it in the name of predecessors. They ask, if so, why is this not among the Taryag Mitzvahs? Why isn't one of the Taryag Mitzvahs the Iser of Lifneihem V'loi Lifnei Arkoi Shalakum? The Kasha isn't really a Kasha. The Imayne HaMitzvah don't enumerate Alav HaBo Miklal Asei among the Minyan HaMitzvahs. It's a technicality, but the Kasha is a good Kasha anyway. The basic question is this now a new obligation to reformulate it? Is this a new obligation which the Torah is mechadish and ve'elam mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem, or is ve'elam mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem v'lo lifnei arkoi shalakum a kind of a gilui milsa, which is telling us that something is osir, but it is really subsumed in some other category? And I submit to you that the isur of ve'elam mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem v'lo lifnei arkoi shalakum isn't a new halacha, but that it is really an old halacha. That in addition to the Lav HaBo Miklal Asei, which may well be a new halacha, there is also another matter which is involved, and one could deduce from those other matters the prohibition of Lifnei Arkois Shalakum. Let me draw your attention to another item of halacha and to another kasha. And with the resolution of that matter, I think that the Isser of Lifneihem V'loi Lifnei Arkois Shalakum can be perceived in a somewhat new perspective. The Isser of Loi Soguru Mitneish, a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the Dayonim, alav, they're told not to be fearful of any person who comes before them in litigation, says the Sifri on the Posuk of Loi Soguru Mitneish, Shema Toimar, Misyoriani Mitneish Pleini, Shema Yarig is Bini, Shema Yadlik es Gedishi, or Shema Yekatzeitz es Niteyosai, Talmud Leimar, Leisoguru Mivneish, Azhora to the Dayan. The Dayan shouldn't say to himself, I will be Misalik myself from the Din, I will recuse myself because Misyoriani Mivneish, I'm afraid of this person, he can do terrible things to me. He can be Madlik my Godish, he'll light my haystack, he'll light a fire in the haystack, or he'll be Kitzitz Nitiyosai, he'll uproot my crop. That I can understand. We have now an issue saying that the dayan is to ignore financial harm that may accrue to him as a result of continuing to sit in this din Torah. That's understandable. However, the same Sifri begins, this dayan should not say, Shema Yehorik is b'ni, and one presumes that the fear must be a well-grounded fear. The dayan has reason to believe that the life of his child is at stake. If he continues to sit in this din Torah and paskin the din la'amitoi, the result is that his child will lose his life. That, it would seem to me, is a case of pikuach nefesh. And look at dover emitnei pikuach nefesh. Why can't the dayan be misalik himself if continuing to sit in the din Torah will result in loss of life, whether of himself, his child, or some other person is irrelevant? It's a nefesh achas mi Yisrael. That should be sufficient justification for the dayan to withdraw. Nevertheless, comes the Azorah, loisa guru mitneish, and tells us that even under those circumstances, it's also for the dayan, not heaven forfend, to issue a psak din, which is mu'uvos, but even to withdraw from the din Torah. The kasha is certainly not a new kasha. The Shvushankiv, Rav Yankiv Reisher, in the Shvushankiv, it's Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, I believe. The Shvushankiv is the earliest that I'm aware of who asks the kasha, and the Shvush Yankiv answers disarmingly that the Sifri is telling the dayan to continue to sit in the din Torah because lo nechshedu Yisrael al kach. Even if he has received a direct threat to his life, the person couldn't possibly have meant it. Jews don't respond that way, and the Sifri is in effect telling you that this is not pikuach nefesh. That's one approach. The Maram Shik in his Sefer on the Taryag Mitzvahs asks the same kash independently, and he offers another explanation. He says, there's a machlekes tanoim with regard to whether it is permissible or forbidden for a person to be masiles atzmei b'momen chaveroi. Can you steal in order to save a human life? A halacha lemaisa, even though Shitas Rashi seems to be different, but and the Binyan Tzion seems to be machri according to Rashi, but I think I can safely say that the hachra of Ruvon Kekulom of Achreinim is that it is mutter to be matzil and nefesh miyisroel, even the momen kaveroi, but says the Maram Shik, this Sifri holds, according to the Mount Omar, that it's forbidden to save a life with momen kaveroi without that person's permission, and therefore it is also to withdraw from the din Torah involving a restoration of money that justly belongs to some Jew in order to save a life. According to the Maram Shik, as well as to the Shushankiv, halacha lemaisa turns out to be that if we are dealing in a real case of pikuach nefesh, since la halacha it is mutter lahaslas atzvei b'momen chaveroi, the dayan could withdraw. That's the position of the Shushankiv and of the Maram Shik. Lanias Daiti, both of them fail to take note of a rishon. The rishon is the Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva Shar Gimel. I think it's Kuf Peches. Says the Shari Tshuva, Chayiv Odom Limsor Atzmoy Lisakone. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina, Val Yashis Esnavshi Ovin Ashmo Kizos, Ki Hayeshev Al Hamishpot Ein Loi Lefached Me Enosh Yomus, Shenemar Lisaguru Mipnei Ish. If it doesn't sound Miduyik Apikoli HaDikduk, I read it as it's written. I think there's a toast of some sort in the text, but it's clear. The content is clear. The Shari Tshuva is saying that a dayan dare not be fearful of his life, that the mitzvah Lisaguru Mipnei Ish requires him to ignore such fears, even if the fear is cogent, and even if it is a fear of Pikuach Nefesh. So the kasha that the Achreinim asks certainly becomes a kasha for the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says clearly and unequivocally that a dayin is obligated to sit in din and to be meitzi a din emes la'amitoi, even if his life is in jeopardy. Incidentally, the Rabbi Yankiv Reisher, the Shvush Yankiv, as well as the Maram Shik and Taryag Mitzvahs, are dealing with recusal, a dayan who wants to withdraw from a case. They aren't talking about a situation in which a dayan is threatened, either you find in my favor or I will shoot you. That is discussed by the Maram Shik in the Shuvas Narachayim Simin Tov Gimel, and the Maram Shik Lishitosei says that since it's mutal hatzlas atzmai b'momen chaveroi, if a person receives a direct threat to his life and the threat is such that he must take it seriously, he is entitled even to issue a psak din which is not justified in order to save his life. It's clear that the Shari Tshuva would not have agreed. The Shari Tshuva clearly states that the leisagur mipnei ish is a hazhara to the dayin, commands the dayin to put his fears aside, even if the fear is a fear of pikuach nefesh, and if the fear is cogent. And the problem is, why is this mitzvah different from any other mitzvah? Why isn't the mitzvah of leisagur mipnei ish, or whatever other mitzvahs are incumbent upon dayonim, why are those not set aside in cases of pikuach nefesh? First, I would draw your attention to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yutes, Omid Aleph. The Gemara tells a story. The Gemara tells us that there was a Maisa Shehoya Ba'avde Diyanei Malka, Kotal Nafsha. The Evet of Yanai HaMelech killed someone. Omer Lu Shim Ben Shetach L'Chachomim, Tnu Einuchem Boi, V'nidenu Nehu. Call Yanai, and we will issue a Psak Din. Sholchulei, avdoch kot al nafsho. They told him, your eved killed someone, and they proceeded to tell him, to ant nami lohoche, v'hu adivolov, we can't be down the eved unless the odin is present. This is affecting Yanai's interests, and we can't be makabel edus shloi b'fnei habaldin. Omro teri yovi balasho v'yamri l'osheri. Yanai appears before the Bezdin. Omer le Shim ben Shetach, Yanai HaMelech, Amud al Raglecha v'yidu b'cho, stand so that the Edim can proceed to give testimony. V'loy lefoneinu ato emeid, elefnei misha omar v'oyo elom ato emeid. Shenemar v'omdu shnei anoshim asher lohem horiv lifnei olikim. To which Yanai responds, to Shim ben Shetach, loy kisha ato emeir, why should I listen to you? Let me hear what the other members of the Bezdin have to say. Nifne liyaminoi kovshu pneihem bekarka. Nifne lismoiloi kovshu pneihem bekarka. Yanai turns to the right and he finds that the other members of the Sanhedrin are hiding their faces. He turns to the left, they hide their faces again. Omar lohen Shimon ben Shetach, Balei machashoveis atem. Balei machashoveis, you're worried. You know what's going on in Yanai's mind. You're afraid that Yanai will become angry. He can vent his anger, and your lives are in danger. Yovei bal hamachashoveis v'yipora mikem. He told them the bal hamachashoveis, the yedei machashoveis, will come, and he will punish you. Bo Gavriel v'choftom b'karka. They received the einish on the spot. If we're to examine the actions of the chaverim of Shim ben Shetach, the chaverim of Shim ben Shetach were afraid, and apparently the fear was rather cogent. Yet, they're punished for not having required Yanai HaMelech to comport himself in accordance with Din Teiret, for not acting as a litigant is supposed to act in the presence of the Bezdin. Why is this not nidche for pikuach nefesh? Precisely the same question. And yet it's clear that Shimon ben Shetach was not willing to accept the hisnatzlus of the chaveri ha-Sanhedrin that they feared for their lives. And not only does he not accept it, but the Yedea Machashoveis doesn't accept it either. The Baal HaMachshoveis sends Gavriel HaMalach to punish them immediately. Why do they deserve punishment? This also is a matter of pikuach nefesh. A second such incident is found in Sefer Yosifun. There, the story is that Hurdis HaMelech was summoned b'chnei ha-Sanhedrin and accused of putting people to death unjustly. He came to the Sanhedrin with armed guards, apparently. And the result is the same thing which we find in the Gemara with Shimon ben Shetach, The Chaverim of the Sanhedrin remained silent. They did not level charges, and they certainly did not execute the sentence. Shammai Hazokin, who was present, predicted that they would fall by the sword. Again, the same problem. We're dealing with a case of Pikuach Nefesh. Why is it that these matters should be dealt with any differently than other mitzvahs? Other mitzvahs are nidche for Pikuach Nefesh. Why aren't these obligations also nidche for Pikuach Nefesh? The answer to that particular question, I think, can be found in an analysis of the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches, a very well-known Gemara. The Gemara tells the story. Tana Rabbonon, Kfar Sholcho Machus Remi, Shnei Sardietes Eitzel Chachma Yisrael, Landuna Terasachem. The Romans sent two of their officials to Eretz Yisrael, to the Chachma Yisrael, and they were charged with studying Kol HaTorah Kula and coming back to Rome with a report. And the Gemara proceeds to tell us, Koru, Vishinu, Vishilshu, they were good Talmidim, they studied and they reviewed and they mastered the material. Bishas Petiroson Omar Lahem, Dikdaktim Chol Teraschem, Ve'emesu, Chutz Midover, Ze Shatem Imrim, Shor Shor Yisur, Shnor Ashor, Shoknani Potter, Shoknani Shnor Ashor, Shor Yisur, Bein Tam, Bein Nuid, Mishalim Nezik Sholem. The Haloch of Ish Kiyirach Ashor Re'eyu, the Chiyuv of a Chatzin Nezik for a Tam, that is applied only to a Yisrael, but in the case of an Akum whose ox gores an ox of a Jew, the Chiyuv is Nezek Sholem. That halacha they didn't like. And they proceed to say that nevertheless, they would V'dovor zeh ein onu meidim eisei l'malchus. But this little item of information we will not report in Rome. The Gemara certainly doesn't need further elaboration. These two Roman officials who say that they will not report this matter to Rome are in effect telling the Jews in Eretz Israel that we're doing a favor. Because if we were to report this to Rome, the consequences would be rather serious. It would create a situation in which undoubtedly Jewish lives could be endangered. But they were so impressed by everything else that they found in Chochmas HaTorah that they were willing to overlook this one minor item and not call down the wrath of the Roman Empire upon the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. The Marshal, the Yamshel Shloim in Bava Kama, asks the obvious question. He says that if the two Roman officials recognize that reporting this to Rome is a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, then the Chachmei Yisrael were certainly as clever as the Roman officials, and they too should have perceived that revealing this information would involve a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. And if so, says the Marshal, they should have suppressed the item. They should have told the Romans that non-Jews and Jews are treated exactly the same way with regard to the tort liability of a Shor Nakhon. Why didn't they just fib a little bit and fudge the issue? To which the Marshal says that this involves a matter of Yorig Val Yavar. There is no halacha of Pikuach Nefesh. The principle that the Marshal enunciates is that falsification of the content of Torah under any and all circumstances constitutes Yorig Val Yavar, and that it is absolutely forbidden to give misinformation in transmitting Torah. The Marshal doesn't explain why, but it seems to me that the Marshal provides insight into another well-known Gemara, the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Anhinzokin, the Gemara of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and the ultimate culmination of that narrative. As everyone knows, the Romans sent a korban, and the shliach proceeded to make a mum in the korban, a mum that was a korban in Dinei Yisrael, even though it was not perceived as a mum insofar as non-Jews are concerned. This animal arrives in Yerushalayim, and the Gemara says that Sovu Rabbonon Lekruve Mishum Shalom Alchus. The Rabbonon were prepared to accept the korban and to be makrivit al gabi mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Omruhu Zachari ben Afkulus, Yemru, Balimumim, craving Agarim Mizbeach, you cannot accept the carbon. It will be said that Balimumim have been sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Then says the Gemara, Sovrul Miktalei, Doileza, Valeme, they wanted to kill the messenger so that he doesn't go back and report that the sacrifice had not been accepted. Again says Rabbi Zachariah, Yemru, Matil Mum, Bikot Shimi Horek, they will say that somebody who makes a mum in a behemoth which is royally karev agabi mizbeach, that the punishment for that is the death penalty. Says the Gemara, Om Reb Yechanon and Vasnusa Sher Bezachari ben Afkulis Yechriv as Beseinu Vesorf as Achaleinu Viglisonu Meartzeinu. And I presume that most people read that as a criticism of Reb Zachariah ben Afkulis. The Anvasnusa Yer Zachariah ben Afkulis brought this terrible calamity. My only problem is that I'm not entirely certain what is this nature of the criticism of Rabbi Zachariah ben Afkulis. The Gemara's lashon is anvas nusa. I submit that the word anvas nusa here cannot mean humility, because it's not Rabbi Zachariah's humility. It is not he who is one of the yirei hayroe, who is afraid to take responsibility for paskening a shaila. Sovru Rabbonon Likabule. His colleagues, the Rabbonon, the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, was willing to accept it. It was not he who was issuing the Psak Din to be Makriv Agabi Mizbeach. That was the Psak of the Rabbonon, of the Bezdin Hagodol. They were willing to do this. It's not Rav Zachariah's Anivus that is getting in the way. Rashi carefully defines the word anvasnusai, and Rashi says anvasnusai doesn't mean humility, it's not anove, sablonusai, his patience. Reb Zachariah ben Afkulis manifested a degree of patience, of nisinus badin, that was not manifested by his chaverim. Apparently, when this animal was brought to Yerushalayim, the members of the Bez Din HaGadol reacted as I presume you and I would react. This seems to be a typical case of Pikuach Nefesh. We have a situation in which if we refuse to be Makriv about Mum HaGabi Mizbeach, look what can happen. What indeed did happen. It's Pikuach Nefesh. Therefore, Pikuach Nefesh is Deiche Kol HaTerekule, it is Deiche the Yisr of HaKrovas Vali Mum HaGabi Mizbeach. We will now accept this korban, be makriv about mum, because of pikuach nefesh. Comes from Zachariah ben Afkulis, and he says, Yemru balimumim kravim al gabim mizbeach. His concern was not with this animal, his concern was not with the avera of being makriv about mum al gabim mizbeach. As I understand the Gemara, his concern was what people will say. If somehow we could exclude everybody from the Azorah and keep this a deep, dark secret, Rabbi Zachariah ben Afkulis would have agreed with the Rabbonon. Only that was an impossibility. The word will get out. And the result will be, Yoimru, they will say. Not that this was Pikuach Nefesh, not that this was a Rashur, but they will say that the halach is balimumim kravim agabim mizbeach. That option didn't exist. Then came a second option. If so, if we cannot be makriv the animal, and it's still pikuach nefesh, then this person who was matil mum bekochim, in addition to having been matil mum bekochim, which is in and of itself an avera, but in addition to everything else, he's a roidit. He is endangering the life of Klal Yisrael. And the halacha is clear that a roidif can be eliminated if that is the only way to eliminate the danger. If we must accept the carbon, if it will become known, and the only way that we prevent it from becoming known is by eliminating the shliach, because he is the one who is going to go back and report what would happen, apparently we can exclude everybody else who is not trustworthy from the Azorah, but we cannot do anything about this shliach, then we should eliminate the shliach. His shliach is to all intents and purposes a roidit. To which comes again the response, Yemru matil mum bekochi mihore. He's not worried about killing this individual. This individual is a roidit. He deserves to be killed. They're afraid that people will assume that he was killed not because he was a roidit,
but they will assume that he was killed because he was a matalmum bekochim, that Bez Din sat and was dan him lemise, because they paskind halacha lemise, that matalmum bekochim is a capital offense, when in point of fact it is not. This was the Savlonusa Shol Zachariah ben Apulis. He thought it over carefully, recognized the implications of the deed, and therefore reached a different maskone, which was quite different from the muskul rishon of the Rabbonon of the Schaverim on the Beis Din HaGadol. It seems to me that the Marshal understood the Gemara this way, and read Mipnei Anvasnusa Shel Zachariah ben Apulis not as a criticism of Rabbi Zachariah ben Apkulis, but as a descriptive statement of Rabbi Zachariah ben Apkulis, and if anything, commending his Mesinus Bedin, because he recognized factors and aspects of the situation that were not immediately perceived by his Chaverim. And if so, the Marshal understood this Gemara as establishing a principle: not only may an individual not purposely and knowingly transmit Torah in a manner which is incorrect or false, but he cannot even through his actions allow a situation to exist in which the Mesorah is falsified, and which the transmission of Torah from one door to the next is other than in accordance with the Mesorah that has been received by Moshe Rabbeinu. If there is a halacha that Yemru Matel Mum Bekochim Yehore, or Yemru Bale Mumi Kravin Gabi Mizbeach, which forces us to reject the Korban even in cases of Pikuach Nefesh, when the act is entirely passive on the part of the Beis Din, then a fortiori, where there is going to be a knowing and purposeful falsification, that in and of itself becomes a halacha of Yoreg the Al Yavar. The question is why. There is a Radvaz which is cited by the Migdal Oiz, which in effect states the same principle in a somewhat different context. The halacha recorded by the Radvaz is that if an Akum comes and says to a Jew, Avor al mitzvazu, Lefi she'ein teiras Moshe emes, transgress not because I want you to transgress, or not because there is some other reason why I want you to transgress, but because ein teiras Moshe emes afilu bitzino vafilu bishas hashmad chayiv limsor atzmoi lemisu. As Rav Yankov Emden in the Middle Ages understands the Radvaz, wherever an oral declaration or an overt act of itself, there is an obligation to appear before the Beis Din. By appearing before these, they have shown that they are accepting the jurisdiction of this Beis Din, and they cannot withdraw from this Beis Din. Once upon a time, in British common law, courts of equity were not composed of the same judges as judges of law. You had two different establishments. There was a court of equity on this side of the street and a court of justice on the other side of the street, and for some matters you went to this court and for other matters you went to the other court. If you maintain that pshura eino tzricha kinyan, it seems to me that the halacha is telling us that a bezdin of pshura and a bezdin of din are that the Beis Din of Pshara and Beis Din of Din are two different Botei Din, and that by appearing before a Beis Din of Pshara and verbally agreeing to Pshara, one has submitted to the jurisdiction of a Beis Din Shel Pshara, and you can no more withdraw even in the absence of Kinyan than you can to go from one Beis Din of Din to another Beis Din of Din. No Kinyan is required. Once you have come into this courtroom, you are bound by the decision of this court. If you have come before a Beis Din of Pshara, you are bound by the Beis Din of Pshara, even though they are the same Dayonim. If the Dayonim have said that we will effect the pshara between you and you allow the proceedings to continue, you are bound because the Bezdin of Din and the Bezdin of Pshara are two different Bati Din. You have accepted this court of equity as distinct from a court of law, and there cannot be any pshara. The Ma'ad Omer, who maintains that pshara tzricha kinyan, seems to me to be saying that the Bezdin of Din and the Bezdin of Pshara have merged, as they have in our day, in that other system of law. It is the same Bezdin, not two separate Bote Din. It's the same Bezdin. There are not different Bote Din who happen to be sitting in the same room. And therefore, unless there is a Kinyan, we have no way of knowing that you have accepted one rather than the other. Of course, you have said that you have accepted. But it is not the same as walking out from one Bezdin and going into another Bezdin. You cannot walk out from one Bezdin and go to another Bezdin. However, since it is the same Bezdin, in the same Bezdin, there is a requirement of a Kinyan, and the Kinyan is in effect a vitur or a mechila, a renunciation or a foregoing of the option to demand din as distinct from shura. A raya to this analysis I find in the psak of the Rambam, the end of Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam says that if two Oifei Kechovim choose to appear before a Bezdin Shel Yisrael, the Bezdin Shel Yisrael may and indeed is obligated to accept the case brought before it, says the Rambam, but im rotzu bidineihem daininun luhu, you give the non-Jews the choice. Do they want to be judged in accordance with Dineihem, or do they want Din Torah? If they want Bidineihem, then Bezdin Shel Yisrael will deal with these two non-Jewish litigants, will apply this other form of law. If they want Din Torah, they will apply Dinei Yisrael. Nowhere can I find anyone who maintains that the Akum must submit to a Kabbalah Kinyan, and if he doesn't submit to a Kabbalah Kinyan, he can then change his mind and say, I agreed originally to Din Torah, now I want Dineinu. Or I agreed originally to Dinei Oifei Kechovim, now I want Din Torah. La Halacha, we maintain Pshara Tzricha Kinyan. Somebody then should have said that just as Pshara Tzricha Kinyan, when these two Akum appear in the Bezdin Shel Yisrael, you also need a Kinyan with regard to which forum of law is to be applied. I find such requirement no place. What must the answer be? The answer must be that a Bezdin Shel Yisrael sitting for two non-Jewish litigants can sit either as a Bezdin of Akum or as a Bezdin of Teras Meshe. They can sit either as a Bezdin applying Dine Akum or as a Bezdin of Dine Shev Mitzvah Neinoyah, basically, or as a Bezdin applying Taryag Mitzvahs. And these are two different Bote Din. Never mind that they are the same persona. They are, in effect, two different Bote Din. And once you appear before one Bezdin without a Kinyan, as long as the proceedings have begun, you cannot leave that Bezdin. If you began the litigation under Dinei Torah, you cannot say you want Dineihem. If you began with Dineihem, you cannot walk out of that Bezdin and go to a Bezdin Shel Yisrael. And since these are, in effect, two separate Bote Din who are sitting in the same courtroom, no Kinyan is required, as distinct from a situation in which Bezdin Shel Yisrael has a choice of either Din or Pshara. There we are not dealing with a court of equity and a court of law. The two systems have been merged. It is now one unified system. Hence, a Kinyan is required as a vitor of the schusim that I have before this forum. The point serves to emphasize that there is a world of difference between a Pshara, which is imposed by someone who is not qualified to serve as a Dayan, or even by Aaron HaKoyen, who wasn't appointed as a Dayan and never assumed the mantle of a Dayan. That is a form of Bitsua which isn't Din. But when Bezdin Shel Yisrael paskins in accordance with Pshara, that Pshara is simply another facet of Din. It is the equity of the law rather than the law itself. So that insofar as Liyisu Lifnei Vlevnei HaKoyen Shal Akum is concerned, that can be avoided by appointing Aaron HaKoyen or someone who is not qualified to serve as a Dayan. You have that form of arbitration which is not Din in any shape, manner, or form. or you can appoint dayonim who are qualified to serve as dayonim, and then even if they pass in accordance with pshore, that pshore itself is din. And the only way in which one can fulfill the mitzvah of sheftim v'sheiterim teaching l'chol b'chol shorecho is by appointing a bezdin composed of dayonim who are qualified to serve as dayonim for din. Then those individuals, if they choose, are entitled to apply pshara as well. Let me conclude by reading the last part of the paragraph of the Eilus Yisrael with which I began, and then simply pointing out some of the fringe benefits which are attendant upon fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sheftim v'Sheiterim Titin L'chol Sharecho through the establishment of a Bezdin. In the very same paragraph, Rav Henkin proceeds to make a number of points, including the point that many times in Inyonim issues, Habal Tadeyas Yishol Din, Vim Misareves Nidenis Kemiredes, Avo Mehechon Teda Yishol Ma'u Samazmin, V'shemechuyeves lovo im einoy memune. Hare yodua sheyesh b'medina zu. Kamo reikim v'avaryonim v'kirim l'atzmon rabonim. U'mesadrim kiddushin v'gitin v'hechsherim v'heterim. V'ein b'koycheinu limchis bohem. V'kol ze ba'ashmas ha'kehilois. Shemevatlin mitzvas asei shel minui dayonim umeirei tzedek. The net result of Eir Geveris Aveir, we are guilty of having been mevatled the mitzvas asei of sheftim v'sheiterim titin l'chol b'chol sharecha, and the result is the churban. And it's something that one sees in Rabbonis on a daily basis. Let me just cite the language of the Sefer HaChinuch in defining the mitzvah of sheftim v'sheiterim titin l'chol b'chol sharecha. Certainly, the mitzvah of minui dayonim is first and foremost so that there be an institution which can compel a litigant to appear before it upon whatever the pain of whatever sanction halacha imposes upon a mesarev lodum. But the Sefer HaChinuch, in formulating the tameh hamitzvah, goes far beyond that and says that we require a bezdin, not simply to paskin dinei momenis. Bezdin, again, it's a different topic entirely, but in halacha there is no sharp distinction between the various branches of government, the judiciary, the executive, and the legislature. The bezdin very often assumes both legislative and executive functions. Says the Sefer HaChinuch that the purpose of the bezdin, in addition to all that which is obvious, the yachziru hanoiti miderech ho'emes, the yitzavu beroi lasois, the yimnu hadavorim hamagunim. In addition to simply issuing a dry psak in a matter of litigation that's come before them, the bezdin, when it exists, has the authority as well as the pragmatic ability to be machzir the toyim lederech ho'emes and to be meneya devorim megunin, things that an individual who is not a dayan cannot possibly do. I will conclude simply with one or two brief little anecdotes. A number of years ago, when my children were small, before the Seder, before Manishtane, Dinah de Gemara is Machalkin Kloyes Vegezin. In addition to being Mesalik, the Kor Me'al HaShulchan HaShalva Tanekis, Chazal were Mesakin to give children a Gezin, Kloyes Vegezin. Well, Gezin I know, but we don't have Kloyes. Instead of Kloyes, I used to use candy. And one Pesach at the Seder, we're ready to proceed with the preliminaries to Manishtane. And my wife brings out from the kitchen a big box of chocolate, and it's wrapped in cellophane, and I proceed to open the box of chocolate. It must have been this high and this wide, and I remove the chocolates from on top, and I give it to the children, and I look back in the box. I want to take out more chocolate. Lo and behold, there's nothing more in the box. The box was filled with styrofoam, this big box of chocolate that costs, I don't want to tell you how much, and on top there is nothing more than one row of chocolate. The grocer that I bought it from was Adner Lachid. I go to him after Pesach and I tell him that there is clearly a matter of a noy involved. This is not right. And he tells me he'll be happy to refund the money, and he feels very bad. Look at how many, he's had other complaints apparently. Look at how many of these boxes of chocolate he has sold before Pesach, and all of these people feel cheated. And it came with a hechsher, a zins nazelchis, and I said, and why didn't you go to the Rav HaMachshir to complain? So he said, I did. And the Rav HaMachshir says, well, so do for me, what can I do about it? If I didn't give him the hechsher, somebody else would go and give him the hechsher. If you're dealing with a situation in which there is no central authority, there's no bezdin to be mazhir, then what in the world can one do? Not terribly long ago, I was involved, a Talmid's mother needed a get, Nebuch. And the husband didn't want to give the gift. So, first thing, what do? You go to the local rabbi. I asked who is the Baal, the Baal's Rav, and I was given the name of a very fine person, a person for whom I have the greatest respect in Derech Eretz. I called him up on the telephone. I said, look, there's a problem with a member of your kehillah. I'll be willing to render whatever assistance I can. Well, if you don't want to speak with him yourself, I'll speak together with you. If you don't want me to speak, then tell me who you want. For an aguna, I can get cooperation from anybody. And he proceeds to answer me, I don't get involved in these things. And on the telephone, I respond by saying, what do you mean you don't get involved in these things? Do I get involved in these things? Why should I be involved? Why should anybody be involved? We're dealing with a situation which is a catastrophe. You're dealing with a human life. How can somebody refuse to get involved? And yet, I know very well why this Rav did not want to be involved. On the block in which his shul exists, there are on the very same block two other shtiblach, and he and I know very well what's going to happen. He'll call in the husband and he'll shake it at least a little bit. The result will be that he'll leave his shul and he'll go to some other shul on the same block. He doesn't have to go very far. As long as there is no central authority and there is no bezdin kovua that has the ability to be meneya the ovel and to be machzir bidarkei hatayr in the language of the Sefer HaChinuch, these things will of necessity continue. The mitzvah is basically a mitzvah of sheitim v'sheitim kitin l'chol b'chol sharecha, which is designed not simply to be mneneya, the iser lifneya v'lem iskutoy shal akum, but it is designed to establish a bezdin that is roi lodin al pi mishpatei hatayra. But as the Sefer HaChinuch points out, in the absence of a bezdin kovua, not only is there a bittul of this mitzvah's asei, but it brings in its wake many other terrible things that could be avoided. The title of this presentation was The Bezdin, an Institution Whose Time Has Returned. It may very well have been that when the Eidus L'Yisrael was written some 50 or 60 years ago, the Jewish community in this country was not yet sufficiently mature to establish a central authority, b'chol plach u'plach, that would have jurisdiction with regard to these matters. But it seems to me, and I assure you, that it is not simply as a commercial for the Yodin Yodin program, but it seems to me that the time has come when we ought to recognize that both in terms of communal responsibility, as well as our obligations as individual Jews to fulfill each one of the Taryag mitzvahs, including mitzvah, what is it, Tov Tzadik Aleph, of Sheftim v'Sheitim Titin L'chol B'chol Sharecha, that the time has come to reestablish Bot Edin, B'chol Plach U'Plach, and perhaps even B'chol Yir V'Yir. I thank you.
We have a few minutes for questions.
I have two items, perhaps you could answer them both together. The first item is, according to what you said, isn't it possible also as well that the Israel is named the way you say of the Kohen in our place will apply only to an authoritative court, but not to this arbitration time that you're talking about? Let us say there were set up a compromise arbitration court, and the Jew would be permitted to go before them because it's not din and it's not, there's no dayanim. You know, the exception of the issuer applies only to what the mitzvah is for the Jew.
La'aniyas daiti, appearing before members of the American Board of Arbitration, does not involve a transgression of the example of the Akarish Halakha. That's arbitration. It's not in accordance with a system of law. It applies ordinary principles of equity and justice on an ad hoc basis, and hence is not a meirim yad b'teres Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the bitsua of Aaron HaKohen. That's not also. But it may be permissible to go to the ABA, but that doesn't absolve you from being memana dayin in the city for purposes of being kaifa bale din to appear when one of the bale din would not otherwise appear.
One more question. You mentioned the marshal,
yes,
which stated that there is an issur, the Herod Bial Yavor, in transmitting misinformation about Torah. So I wonder how you would interpret some of the Gemaras where someone comes to the rabbi, a goy, asks a question, and then his talmidim say, also the chito bakash, what's the real reason? Obviously, this information was transmitted.
Not affecting...
Well, let me finish. One more. Okay. Then, just recently, we learned in Gemara in Baba Basra that Rava asking the Diyan about Ashtar Shiv Marah, and this woman for whom he paskin said to him, is this the law? So he said to his sofer, go write her something, umatilehem, yadeacherim, or something like that. And she sensed that it was incorrect. So my question is, what was Rava doing conveying misinformation to this woman?
Right.
And first and foremost.
Okay, 2 points. First of all, it seems to be limited to matters of halacha l'maisa rather than to things that are not negeh halacha l'maisa. Point number two, oisa d'chisa b'kash doesn't necessarily mean that it was incorrect, but it means it was not a full and complete answer. There may not be an obligation with regard to full disclosure. Point number three, there are clearly places, and this would take long to develop in detail, but there are places where the Gemara tells us specifically that there were piske halacha that involved chumras that were not a leave of the hilchasim. It seems that there is permission to, as the Torah's geder usiyog, no worse than a derabonon. Just as Chazal have the right to promulgate takonis, which have the full effect and force of law, to forbid that which is mutter because they want to make it siyog l'tayre, it apparently is the same principle that an individual meir heroi has the right to say that something is usur even though it's mutter if he feels it's necessary in a given situation. And that seems to be a part of this general koyach of chachomim to make a siyog l'tayre. So that sure, there are certain exceptions. The exceptions don't prove the rule in the sense that they don't demonstrate that you can falsify the Messiah. All of the exceptions are designed to strengthen the basic principle, namely that the Torah remain and be transmitted in its totality, midor lidor. I'll answer, not al rishon rishon, but al achron achron. I will not defend the second. I have no idea what the heter was. I don't know if there was a hazmona l'din and a ksav siruv. I certainly hope there was. If there wasn't, I will be the last one to defend it. As far as the chok of miu yehudi is concerned, Rabbi Shonfa wants the floor. You can have it. So let me just finish. As far as miu yehudi is concerned, we're Miu Yehudi is an entirely different matter. It deals with how an individual is to be registered in the proper court and doesn't deal with matters of jurisprudence at all. No one, even Chazon Ish, didn't deny that the Knesset, or maybe he would have, but it becomes a different shaila and it would have been for different reasons, let's be careful what I say. didn't argue that a body such as the Knesset has the right, does not have the right to enact ordinances which are for the benefit of the tzibur. Social welfare legislation is well within the province of the Zayin Tuvei Hu'ir. Now, I qualified all that by saying that, you've got to have Zayin Tuvei Hu'ir who are appointed in accordance with halacha as well. But the Zayin Tuvei Hu'ir can pass legislation which is designed to improve the machinery of society. They weren't concerned with social welfare legislation and things of that sort. What they were concerned was with tort legislation, in which the Davos Shomrim don't exist anymore, but there's some other law of bailment that's been promulgated by the Knesset, etc., etc. I thought that you were going to ask me something else, not about Miyu Yehudi, but what was all this business about the Chok HaLakuna that was passed some 3 years ago to great acclaim in some circles. From 1948 until roughly 1980, the law of the State of Israel was that where there is no Chok HaKnesset and where there is no precedent, and when the case cannot be resolved by analogy either to precedent or to Chok HaKnesset, then the case is to be adjudicated in accordance with precedents of British courts. Not necessarily precedents announced in British courts before 1948, but it turned out that a decision of a magistrate's court in a remote Hampshire in England of 1979 was binding precedent in the State of Israel, and there were a lot of people who were very unhappy about that situation. Now, of course, the solution would have been that when there is no Chok HaKnesset and when there is no precedent, the court shall rule in accordance with Choshen Mishpat. Instead of that, the Chok HaLakuna, where there's a lacuna in the law, the Chok HaLakuna said that the judges are to rule in accordance with Ikrenei HaTzedek VaHayishev VaHasholim Shel Mereshes Yisrael. If you know what that means, please let me know. But I know what it does not mean. I know that it doesn't mean halacha, and it doesn't mean Choshen Mishpat, and I know that that is worse than relying upon something else. That it certainly doesn't solve the problem in any shape, manner, or form, and that there's certainly no reason to be overjoyed at what was perceived as at least a kind of a crumb in some circles. I think Rabbi Schoenfeld wanted the floor. Rabbi Schoenfeld, I take personal umbrage. The institution, which is your alma mater, has a Beis Din of which I have the honor of serving as a member.
I don't want to answer that because that's another problem.
What?
Wait a minute.
I'm happy to go out of business.
Rabbi, wait, one thing at a time. Your questions all have a common denominator. The point that you made about the honesty of the Bote Din, I take personal umbrage if it was directed in this direction. The Besna Yeshiva University, at least in all matters in which I have sat, and I have every reason to believe that in all matters in which any one of my colleagues have sat, have resulted in a psak din without negiyas, a din lamita shofere, or lamita shopshore, as the case may be. I can assure you, for whatever my word is worth, that this is a bezin that cannot be bought either with money or with COVID or with anything else. I cannot speak for others. I can speak only for those with which I have had contact. The various other Bote Din with which I have had contact over the years have operated in a manner which is above reproach. I do hear tell that there are things going on out there. I hear vague rumors, just as you, I presume, hear vague rumors. I cannot speak for which communal Beis Din. You are absolutely right. Yeshivas are not in the business of establishing Bote Din. That is why the Beis Din of Yeshiva University and the Beis Din of Yeshiva Beis Yosef and the Beis Din of the Vada Rabbanim of Queens and the Beis Din of the Vada Rabbanim of Flatbush do not satisfy the requirements of Sheitim v'Sheitrim, Titim v'Chol v'Chol Sharecha, because what you're dealing with is an ad hoc Beis Din. In effect, we are telling people, here are Dayonim, willing and hopefully able, come use their services. There has never been what I left out, because they told me speak for an hour, or worse to that effect. What I left out was that in order to establish a Beis Din, you have to have a kehillah first. If you don't have a kehillah structure, then you cannot very well have a Beis Din. Certainly not a Beis Din that will have the authority, the technical, legal, halachic authority to compel people to appear before it. The fact that a group of rabbis get together and say, we're going to establish our Beis Din is very good and very noble, but it doesn't give that institution the samchus of a Beis Din that can force people to appear before it and to enable it to speak as the voice of the entire community. It requires something a great deal more formal than that, and the time has come for something a great deal more formal than that. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the first question. Am I responsible for that too? What do I know about Israeli law? However, let me try to the best of my limited ability. There is an ongoing struggle, in quotation marks, with regard to the authority of the rabbinical court as opposed to the secular Supreme Court, as indeed there is in our country in a somewhat different way with regard to the authority of the judiciary. Just read the newspapers on the Bork nomination. The Supreme Court has over the years attempted to assert its authority in a rather limited way, in manner which the Bote Din Rabbonim have not been willing to accept their authority. Everyone agrees that in the areas which are within the exclusive jurisdiction of the Bote Din Rabbonim, the Israeli Supreme Court has no authority whatsoever in terms of substantive law. The trick is that there are all kinds of other things that aren't substantive. Those are matters of procedure, and the Supreme Court has taken the position that it does have authority with regard to matters of procedure. So that usually, when these things get into the Supreme Court, it's not that the Dayan in Rehovot has paskened incorrectly, because he paskens like the Bishmul and the Halachos like the Chelkos Mecheki, or he paskens like the Machaber and should pasken like the Ramah. That the Beis Din recognizes the Bet Mishpat recognizes isn't its business, and it cannot intervene. But you can have a situation in which the Beis Din of Haifa issues a psak in a paternity dispute, and you're talking about hachzakat yeladim, and we're going to make this man pay for child support, and it refuses to accept chromosomal evidence from the Supreme Court, saying, why have you ignored this evidence? You aren't giving these people due process. That becomes a procedural matter, Zoganan, and that's how it gets into the Supreme Court of Israel, the secular Supreme Court. Of course, every time this happens, it is done to get headlines in the newspaper. Because what's going to happen in that case? You'll go right back to the Beit Din Rabbani, and the Beit Din Rabbani will issue a psak saying, this isn't a matter of procedure, it's not a matter of due process. Halacha has rules of evidence. And rules of evidence, in our opinion, it's a matter of dispute, say that chromosomal evidence is not admissible. And you're back where you started from. A great deal of this is posturing for purposes of getting lines in the press.
In the Nakash case, you are dealing with something which Bava Nisenu Harabi is not within the province of the Bote Din Rabbonim. Extradition is not a matter over which rabbinic courts have jurisdiction. However, the rabbinic court played exactly the same game. They turned around and said, sure, jurisdiction isn't our business, but there is something which is our business, and that is an ikuv nisiyah. We don't let people out of the country if the wife is going to be left an aguna. This man may be extradited as a matter of secular law, but in order to be extradited, he's got to go through the Mishmar HaGvul. And we are entitled to tell the Mishmar HaGvul, this guy doesn't leave the country until he gives his wife a get. Now, the Supreme Court obviously is not going to view it the same way, and is very likely to say that you are misapplying your samachut in terms of ikuv nesiyah. Ikuv nesiyah was to prevent people from going as tourists or on business or what have you, but not when they are being sent by the state. That this the right to issue an ikuv nesiyah under those circumstances is not within the jurisdiction of the Bote Din Rabbonim. That's what it's all about. You have a chok hadayanim, etc., which limits the power of the Bote Din Rabbonim, and then, as with every statute, it becomes a matter of statutory interpretation. What powers have they been granted, and what powers have they not been granted? And who is going to make that ultimate decision?
Two questions, too. Number one, you just alluded to it at the end. Even if we were to appoint a Bezdin in every place, what kind of enforcing power can we have?
Oh, we have very strong powers of enforcement. It's called moral persuasion. But moral persuasion works only when an entire community is prepared to use it. If you determine that you are going to apply certain sanctions to an individual who is a leitza yizdine, that works as long as those people want to remain members of the community. However, if you're dealing with a situation in which people can make disparaging comments about the ksav sir of a bezdin X, and you go to someplace else and they shrug their shoulders and say, what does this all mean? That bezdin had no right to issue it in the first place, then you can succeed only if you are willing to recognize that there is a central authority, either in the community as a whole, or a district authority in each district, and that the pronouncements of that body, both in terms of actual halacha, as well as with regard to all the other things that the Sefer HaChinuch speaks of, will be accepted as normative by the entire community, and everybody will submit to the jurisdiction of that body. Then and only then can you attempt to use the very, very potent powers that we do have. We don't know how strong we are.
Yeah, but that implies that our united community, because we don't have. What kind of, is that realistic? I mean, even within the Orthodox community, we have division. And then, of course, going to the other Jewish communities, that certainly doesn't exist. And they'll just run from one to the other. How can you? We
certainly
have a problem all the time,
yeah,
hidden.
Sure. The problems always start with people. Sure. Certainly in the so-called out-of-town communities, it is something which is doable. New York is a tough nut to crack because there are too many communities in New York and too many individuals and too many different factions to deal with, and to get them all together is extremely difficult. However, if you're dealing in a community that has 3, 4, 5, 6, or 10 synagogues, and has a limited number of communal institutions, it is not all that difficult to do what was done in institutions. It is not all that difficult to do what was done in Europe. You get all the officers of all the congregations together and all the rabbonim, and you designate rabbis A, B, and C as the bezdin of the entire synagogue, and you have this ratified at the membership meetings of each of the shuls and each of the communal organizations, and submit a ksav rabbonis to be signed by every choshev balabos in the city, and you will have a situation where in halacha you have one bezdin in the city, and that bezdin will have all of the authority of Bote Din of once upon a time, which go even far beyond things I spoke about today. It goes even in areas of psak halacha, to machriya the halacha for the city, which is lav milsa zutra city, and that's something else.
Just to belabor the point, but I come from a small town, and we can set up a bezdin for our shul, But of course, the other parts of Jewish community are not going to accept it. The Reform and the Conservatives are not going to accept
it. Oh, they don't concern me. I'm worried about our community.
But then, but our people...
Their refusal to submit to the authority of the Beis Din, La Niyaz Daiti, in no way compromises or mitigates the authority of the Beis Din. The fact that Avaryonim, Purshim Midarkei HaTzibur, refuse to accept the Rav or the Dayan does not invalidate his minun. If he has been appointed by Shem Riteru and Mitzvah, he is the Rav, and he can force them also, only they don't know it. We just don't have the way to force it. But the Purshim Midarkei HaTzibur don't count. They don't have a vote.
But the fact is, how are you going to force your accountant, Baal, to give his wife a gift if he just says, well, I'll just join the conservative show?
Right.
I think for the enlightenment, enlightenment of some of the people here, we do have an instrumentality in New York called the Get Organization, and the Rabbonim in our community have in half a dozen instances by the use of social pressure. As a matter of fact, our boards of trustees march in front of a particular establishment and use economic pressure where after a long period of time, get was affected with a cake of a rabbi. An individual who is well known to many his family, a couple of children refused to give a get. And Stiebel was people from the community, including rabbis, marched in front of there several weeks, and the get was affected. So working hand in hand with all of the Batei Din, as split as we are, with the Dayanim of Flatbush and of Borough Park and so on and so forth, working together with the Hasidic community, using this kind of communal pressure. I'm not saying that we've succeeded in all cases, but I know of it.
I want to.